There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
Could have been the whiskey, might have been the gin. Could have been the 3 or 4 6-packs, I don't know. But look at the mess I'm in, my head's like a football. I think I'm gonna die. Tell me, oh my, I wasn't that a party. Someone took a grapefruit, wore it like a hat. I saw someone under my kitchen table talking to my old strong cat. They were talking about a hockey. The cat was talking back. Along about that, everything went right. I wasn't that hardy. I'm sure it's just my memory playing tricks on me. But I think I saw my buddy cutting down my neighbor's tree. Could have been the whiskey. Could have been a 3 or 4 6-packs, I don't know. But look at the mess I'm in, my head's like a football. I think I'm gonna die. Tell me, oh God, wasn't that a party? So you see your body, it was all in fun. A little bit of track meet down on Main Street was just to see if the cops could run. Well, the runners didn't see you in an alcoholic haze. I sure can use those 30 days to recover from the party. Could have been the whiskey, might have been the gin. Could have been the 3 or 4 6-packs, I don't know. But look at the mess I'm in, my head's like a football. I think I'm gonna die. Tell me, oh my, wasn't that a party? Could have been the whiskey, might have been the gin. Could have been the 3 or 4 6-packs, I don't know. But look at the mess I'm in, my head's like a football.
Got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back?
If you wanna have a go, I just wanna let you know.
Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
And here we are. Welcome to The Shooting Bench. It is Wednesday, the 18th of July, and it is pouring down rain again out there. So I got to start the show out with a disclaimer or a warning here that if it goes south and the internet gives up, I'm not going to stop recording. The podcast will be uninterrupted. Can you hear that? Shaking the building. Unbelievable. We have had so much lightning the last hour or so here. I'm glad it may start a fire anyway, but at least it'll be easier to control. I'm glad we've had all this rain before this lightning storm, because it is damn sure everywhere right now. So let me run over here to the chat room real quick, see what's going on over there. Make sure we got sound, and 5x5, Yakima Glock, thank you, Tebow. All right, let's see who all we got in there tonight. AZ Bounds with us, Cajun Mimi's back, glad to see you're getting to be a regular fixture there, and Copper and Desert Rat, the Tinker, NM Glock, Yakima Glock, Tebow, a couple of anonymous. I saw somebody in there earlier that I didn't recognize. It was Magic Mama or whatever it was, I don't remember. Something, not One Bright Angel, I'll see her in there. What the heck was it anyway? She'll be back, I reckon.
So I already said that, if the show goes off, I'm just going to keep recording, so the podcast will be good. Apparently we've gotten more rain than I've been telling you. I told you about how bad it got in Flagstaff and Mesa and all that. But it looks like we may have gotten, someone said today they got like 4.6 inches right in Sholo. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot for Atlanta or Houston or Miami or somewhere like that. But I'll tell you what, Sholo, Arizona, that's a bona fide flood. That is a lot of rain for our part of the country. So, but I'm not going to complain about it. As much as I hate rain, I hate forest fires worse. So I'm okay with that.
A lot of stuff been going on just since Monday. But let's start out with this one here. Got quite a few things to talk about. But I think this is a brilliant idea, a good preemptive strike here from Mandalay Bay owners. They are suing the victims of the shooting that they had there. And this is, they filed suit claiming that it has no liability for the massacre, okay? And I think this is a good idea for their, you know, if everyone sued them, they will, then you're looking at, what, $1 million, $5 million, $10 million, $20 million apiece. And there's no way that, I won't say there's no way. I don't know what the resources are of the insurance company. But this is something that I recommended for in my concealed weapons classes and some of the other defensive weapons classes. Is if you get involved in a lethal force scenario and you wind up having to pull the trigger, and you kill or injure somebody,
then you know you're going to get sued. Maybe not in Arizona, because we have Castle Doctrine and Stand Your Ground. But in many states, in California, New Mexico, you know, chances are pretty good that somebody's going to try to sue you for it. So the thing to do, and we've talked about this, you know, a long time ago, is to sue first. Make them countersue. And it becomes less attractive to them. It's less romantic to them. You don't have to sue for, you know, try to get filthy rich off one deal. It's not about the money. It's about saving your money and your business or your home, your job, your marriage. And make them countersue you. And you're suing for the, what do they call it? Not pain and suffering. What is it? The mental anguish and all that, that this person puts you through, the trauma that you've gone through for having to take a life or having to injure someone, and that they have forced you into this. To allow them to sue you is to, you know, for, in a manner of speaking, admitting that you are responsible for that death or that injury. By countersuing, I mean by preemptive, your preemptive strike, your preemptive suit here, whatever you want to call it, you are telling them that, you know, I tell people you're not taking a life, you're saving one. So we're not suing because you shot this person. We're suing because that person made you shoot him. It was that person's decision to put you in that position and make you shoot. And a good way to save your bacon, so to speak, and your frying pan and your fork and your table and your chair and everything else, is to sue first. So, it's not out of anger. It's not out of, you know, animosity or greed, or it's out of survival. You're trying to keep them from ruining you. Now, by the same token, we have no desire to ruin anybody else. We're just trying to keep from being ruined. You know, we have no desire to shoot somebody else, but we're trying to keep from being shot. Does that make sense to you? So keep that in mind. Think about it. Share it with your friends and anybody that, you know, that carries or that comes up with questions like this, and see what they think about it. I forget to bring that up once in a while in the concealed carry classes and stuff, but usually I remember, because usually somebody brings up lawsuits and stuff, and I say just exactly what I've been saying just now. Knock the guy out and sue him for assault. Yeah, it makes sense to me. Let's see here. Hey, NM Glock, I know what you mean. My internet has been, actually tonight it's been pretty solid, and I'm amazed because it is pouring down rain out there, and lightning, thunder, and carrying on. My internet is as steady as a rock tonight, but if it goes away, then just know that the podcast will be uninterrupted. Okay, let's move on. Some of you, a lot of you, if you follow me on Facebook, you've seen the story about the guy that, about the cop, Metro Police, that was chasing a guy. What you didn't see in the video is that the guy that was being chased had fired multiple rounds, 50 or 60 rounds, at cops. And if I got my story straight, you know, about 30 or so towards the cop that was in the video. in this video, he had missed several chances. Now, for what he does, and I know that somebody's going to say, well, what would you do under that kind of stress? What do you do if somebody's shooting at you? Well, that's why we train, okay? That's why we do things over and over and over and over. So that when your mind quits working, your hands still remember what to do. And you don't try to put your magazine in backwards and, you know, grab the gun by the wrong end and try to shoot it upside down or whatever. That's why we do things over and over and over. So that we build that strong, you know, call it whatever you want. You call it muscle memory, call it habit, call it biscuits and gravy, I don't care what you call it. But you develop a routine that is virtually unbreakable, unshakable, if you do it enough. There's things that you can do almost regardless of your mental state. Now, I'll also say that you are severely injured enough, I get all that. I understand that it's not 100%. But the first thing that this cop did, now remember, this is Las Vegas Metro, and they have a history, a reputation of doing stuff like this. Their firearms training, from what I can tell, in a word, sucks, because we see this kind of stuff over and over from Las Vegas Metro. You see it from other departments too. You see a lot of stuff from New York that's unbelievable. And then you see, I'm gonna talk about another story probably after the break, that is 180 degrees different from this, where someone had the mindset and the training and the ability to take care of business. And I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But this guy started out, he's chasing him, and he's just hauling ass down through downtown Las Vegas. And finally, he tries to stick his arm out the window. He puts his gun in his support side in his left hand. He's obviously right-handed. He puts it in his left hand, and he sticks it out the window, and then brings it back in without firing a shot. Now, what that tells me, and NM Glock and Copper might weigh in here and tell you if they think I'm right or not. But what that tells me is that it is completely foreign to him to have that in his left hand. If he had practiced as he should properly, he would have a good idea of what it's like to shoot with that support side hand. He never fired a round with the support side hand, with the left hand. He finally didn't know what else to do, so he just starts shooting through the windshield. Now, I'll tell you, there's probably a time and a place for that. I don't think this was it. He passed up at least three different chances, I think, or more, to do a pit maneuver and bring that car to a halt. He passed up, I'll get to that in a second. So he starts blazing away through windshield. I got two problems with this. Some of the shots that he fired, the car was way, long ways away. There's no guarantee that those bullets are going to remain on their original path after they go through that window. Now, they may not be altered much at that close range, depending on the caliber and the, they're hollow points, so they're obviously going to deform a little bit with each time he hit the window. The other thing it does is mess up his vision. He's got this spider web of glass in front of him there. Not to mention that there's cars, innocent cars, not involved, on both sides of the one that he's shooting at. From the looks of the holes in the windshield, I can pretty much guarantee you that not every round hit that car. That means that some of them went over or beside or under addressed to whom it may concern. This is not a good thing. If you can't account for your rounds, you should not be pulling the trigger. I understand the seriousness of what was going on. These guys have been shooting at cops. Okay, I get that. There are many cities that don't even allow that kind of chase, much less shooting. Now, whether or not this guy is going to get in trouble, that is yet to be seen. I don't know what the policy is there. But he was staying on them. As far as I could tell, they weren't shooting out of the car. I think they have done their shooting before this chase started, but I can't promise that. It appears to me that they could have just stayed on him until he did get in a safe place and not take the chance of him wrecking going down the strip at 65 miles an hour or whatever it was. He pulled up beside the car once, got almost, the front end was probably almost to the passenger compartment, I mean the driver's compartment of the car. The left, right rear tire was right outside his window. And he once again thought about shooting left-handed, which would have been ideal because the tire of that other car was probably less than 10 feet away or around 10 feet. Left-handed, he should have easily been able to take that tire out. But he didn't try. He thought about it. He started to switch hands, if I remember correctly, and then went back to Yakima Glock says they were actually shooting out of the car. Okay, I was watching him so close I didn't notice that. I don't know how much that, not sure how much that changes anything. The one solution would be to back off a little bit and just keep them in sight. They've got helicopters there and everything else. If they're shooting and he's that close, then maybe that was the one of those few times when it was okay to do that. But I still think he had other options. Like I said, he passed up two or three chances to do a pit maneuver. He blew the chance to shoot out the right rear tire when it was right beside him by not switching hands with his gun. And when they finally crashed into the side of an elementary school, he started to get out. Now, I opened the door first, started to get out, and then tries to do a reload. I understand how excited he is. I understand that adrenaline is off the chart right there. But I also understand that if you train enough that you can overcome much of that adrenaline, much of that run. You're not going to overcome the adrenaline rush. You can overcome some of the lost muscle memory, the lost fine motor skills through practice. He fumbled that reload so bad, tried to put the magazine in backwards. If your magazines are, I've seen many cops have magazines sideways on their belt and or a magazine carrier on the support side facing the wrong direction or facing both directions because it looks symmetrical and cool kind of to have one floor plate slanted one direction and one slanted the other way. Or have magazines on the same side as the gun, which I'm not sure, but I think might have been the case with this guy. At any rate, he released the gun with his firing hand, got a hold of it with his support hand, tried to put the magazine in backwards with his firing hand, finally got it loaded, and when you see he ran over to that wall, when he came out from behind that, his grip was totally opposite of what he'd been doing. He had his thumb over the top of his firing side hand. You know what's going to, he was shooting Glock. You know what's going to happen if he pulls the trigger. I think he did, actually. I'll have to go back and look at it. I think he did pull the trigger. And so if he did, chances are pretty good that he got that thumb busted up pretty good from the slide. And if he didn't, then he's lucky that he didn't get injured. But I don't know. I've seen and read many accounts, detailed accounts of, and seen videos. And you can tell the people in an actual shooting, you can tell the ones that have spent time and money on training and how it has helped them in a situation like that. And you can tell the ones that seem to be satisfied with just the amount of training that their department gives them and don't go out and pay money. You know, we've had SWAT officers. I have a video testimony of a SWAT officer that took a class from me in Farmington. And he stated on that video that his county doesn't have anything to compare with what we did. So, you know, no matter what your department teaches you, there's going to be places out there that you might pick up a little something here and a little something there that you can add to your toolbox, so to speak. And that's what this SWAT officer had gathered up. He said, you know, there's things in there that his department have never even thought of. So it added something to his toolbox and helped him to be a better officer. Or better prepared to handle himself in a case like that. Anyway, let's rephrase that.
So, anyway, let's see. Let me see what Yakima Glock. Looks like he's studied this. So when the second squad car comes in, you hear him on the radio telling the officer you need to back off a bit because they're shooting. Video I've watched may have been a bit longer. Could have been.
Maybe a little bit more of it than I saw. So, you know, it's hard to armchair quarterback all this stuff. You know, what I saw, a lot of mistakes, what I consider mistakes. But I wasn't there. I wasn't feeling what he was feeling. I don't know, you know, how many good guys there was beside him, chasing him, whatever. I don't know all the details. But the things that I saw seemed that it was I think the more intense training probably could have prepared him a little better to handle that situation.
Okay. Well, let's see here. I think what I need to do probably is take a little break. And then I got some other things I want to share with you when I come back.
I'll be back.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes every time, and you can do the same thing with Byard Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byard Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byard Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByardBarrels.com. That's B-E-Y-E-R barrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis? Freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way.
Well, why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying
yes.
Let's talk about...
Fine. Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of our paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it any time he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so damn always?
Hey.
And with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you, nonetheless, are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period, generation, period, ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the f*** you're talking about. Yosemite? Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
Here's your sign. Here's your sign.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, let's come back here and wrap this thing up. We got a couple of pretty interesting stories here, I think. And one of them... One of the arguments that the pro-wolf people have is that they have never attacked human beings, which is wrong, because I can go back through my grandma's journal, you know, the one I told you lived over here in Luna. They settled that, or actually it was her, yeah, when she was a kid. They settled that country in 1865. I mean, that was before she was a kid. It was when her mother was settled it, but... Anyway, there's entries in the journal about the wolves and stuff. And even if that were the case, some of you may remember back 8 years ago, when I had that guy from down in Reserve, New Mexico, that is extremely active and very knowledgeable about this wolf thing. Has, you know, undeniable statistics about what they've done. I have pictures myself
of dogs and calves and elk and whatever that these wolves have killed. And they just so happened. Now, this particular incident happened up in Washington. Luckily, the gal was not injured. There was a Forest Service employee there. She's obviously working out by herself. Works for the Forest Service, of course, so she, unless she's a ranger or something, you know, they're not going to let her have a gun. So she had bear spray and all that, but it didn't work. That's what people have to understand about bear spray and pepper spray and stuff. You have to be very mindful. I think it's a stupid idea out in the woods. You have to be extremely mindful of the wind and stuff. Now, this goes back to what we were talking about with the handgun a while ago. You don't just buy a can of pepper spray and drop it in your purse or in your backpack or whatever. There you go. Saying something comes, I'll just shoot them with that. You have to practice with that stuff. You need to know how far it shoots. You need to know how accurate it will shoot and how accurate you are with it. You need to know how many times you shoot it as it starts dwindling, as it starts dying. How much do you have to raise it up to reach your target? You know, we spend hundreds of dollars, thousands, some of us, buying ammo and accessories and stuff so we can practice and train. But you go out and spend $20 for a can of bear spray, and that's it. You're not going to shoot it and waste it. Don't we waste bullets? Don't we shoot them out there and not able to recover them and they're gone, they're wasted? Well, not really, because we're getting use out of it and we're practicing, we're training, and that ammunition that we expend helped us to be more proficient in what we do. The same can be said with bear spray. You know, buy 5 cans and practice this month. If you're going to carry that where there's large, toothy creatures that will eat you alive, then why would you not practice with this stuff? Anyway, that's all she had was bear spray. And a whistle, I think. These two wolves chased her up a tree, and she was yelling and hollering and waving her arms and spraying bear spray at them. And it's completely unsuccessful. They were not deterred at all. They were circling the tree. Luckily, she was able to get to her phone or radio, I don't remember which one it was, and call and get help. When the helicopter came, the wolves did leave, but before they got there, they saw the wolves circling the tree. She was 30 feet up the tree and probably certainly scared to death. And now what she'd have done if the helicopter hadn't come, I don't know. Do you think the wolves would have just, they know she's up the tree. You think they would have just laid down over there, or one of them go back to the den and check on the pups? And there was an active den there. Check on the pups and you know, go get a bite to eat, maybe bring something to eat for the one that's standing guard. I have my doubts whether they're going to let her out of that tree. But the helicopter changed their mind. The deputies were advised that if they arrived on the scene and the wolves were still surrounding the female, they were to shoot the wolves on sight. However, as the helicopter responded, the helicopter, let's see, mainly used for firefighting efforts. When it got there, they were able to scare the wolves away, and they didn't shoot them. So that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's too bad. Should have shot them anyway. Anyway, I just think that's kind of ruins the narrative there for the wolves not attacking people. What NM Glock's putting down there, in reserve, they built cages for kids to lock themselves in while waiting for a school bus. Well, that's That's pretty accurate, what you say there. Actually, it wasn't just in reserve. It's in a lot of places around Catherine County that this they're at each school bus stop, they have built a very sturdy wolf-proof cage with a chain-link fence. It's a little shack, a little shed with chain-link around the windows that you can get in there and lock the door, shut the door so the wolves can't get in there. And Glock said, not a big fan of carrying cooking spice to defend yourself with. No, you know, I'm not sure how well this spray works on some of these animals. You know, they have, depending on their level of adrenaline, their level of rage or hunger that might keep them going, will determine how well this bear spray works or how much it doesn't work. You know, when you get used to that, I think that we talked about spray once, and I told you about my experience with the gas chamber in basic training. I think some people are just able to handle, and some animals are able to or willing to handle different levels of comfort. And while I saw, you know, when we went into the gas chamber, you have to go in there in your full, what they call mop gear, your full protective gear from the gas. And this room is full of CS. It's full of a type of tear gas type stuff. And when you get in there, you're supposed to pull your mask off, say your name and your social security number and something else, and leave the ship, the chamber. And then when you get outside, you're supposed to run around the field, flapping your arms, looking like a wounded eagle, trying to get some of the gas off your clothes and stuff. And I watched some of the guys, we were all standing in the chamber, and we watched some of these guys, they pull their mask off, and just immediately before a word comes out of their mouth, squalling, running for the door. I don't know if it had some type of, allergy made it affect some people differently than others, or if they just couldn't stand the discomfort. It was not comfortable, okay, I'll tell you that. When I took it, and, you know, a lot of these guys run as hard as they could go, getting out the door, and this cough and choke and spit and puke and cry and holler, running around the field trying to get that gas off of them. And it is certainly uncomfortable, but I walked up to the guy, pulled my mask off, and of course, right away, you just start stringing snot out of your nose like an old cow, and your eyes are burning and stuff, and I held my eyes open as good as I could, probably out of spite more than anything else. Told the sergeant what he wanted to hear, and I turned around and walked out the door. And, eyes red, burning, snot everywhere. It's part of the deal. But it's not unbearable. It's uncomfortable. It's not unbearable. There's a big difference. And I think that, you know, these wolves didn't run from the bear spray. Would a grizzly bear run from the bear spray? Maybe. If it was a young bear that wasn't particularly hungry, just happened by, and it was curious, and he sprayed that, and he said, well, that's kind of uncomfortable, and I got to just go the other way for a while. But if it was that young bear's mama, I don't think you could spray enough bear spray on him to make any difference. I think it all depends on the level of desire that the bear has to get at you. That's my opinion, and you're welcome to it. Okay, let's see here. What am I looking at here? LED spray, lead spray. Not sure what that means. All right, let's move on. You guys saw the GOP leader in Ohio that has resigned
over this summit that Trump had with Putin. Now, I still don't get this. We talked about this a little bit Monday, quite a bit. I still don't understand. Obama spent time with Putin. Good buddies, laughing and joking and smoking and having a good time. And so did Clinton, and so did both the Bushes, and so has Senator Schumer and numerous others. Why is it okay for all of those people to go in? None of them had a knife in their teeth. None of them were, growling or, assumed a defensive posture behind the couch or anything. They're sitting there with their legs crossed shooting the breeze as if they were being friendly. Why was it not okay for Trump to be friendly? Why is it not okay to try to patch up relations with a long-time enemy and say, look, let's toss in the towel here and let's sit down and talk about this. I think there's room for both of us here. You do your thing and I'll do mine, and I think we can get along just fine. And the other side says, you're right. We've been wasting a lot of time and resources on this for the last, 100 years. So let's try it and see what happens. It worked with North Korea, apparently, so far. So I don't understand. I am a complete loss as to why it is that Trump is so hated for this. And like I said, if he found a cure for cancer, the Democrats would still hate him. They'd still find a reason to denigrate him, for what he's done. N.M. Glock, it's not even just the liberal Democrats. Both Bushes met with him, got pictures of him. And of course, pictures of them don't mean anything anymore as much, but it's pretty, pretty common. I mean, it's in all the magazines and stuff. But anyway, back to this guy from Ohio. Republican Party chairman in Ohio County announced his abrupt resignation Monday, citing President Trump's Helsinki summit with Russian President Vladimir. That's actually not Vladimir. Everybody says that. It's Vladimir Putin. And a matter of conscience is reason behind his decision. Chris Gagan, this looks what it looks like, Gagan. So. Belmont County Republican Party chairman made the sudden announcement on Twitter. He had been the county's GOP chairman since April 2016. I remain a proud conservative and a Republican, but I resign today as Belmont County, Ohio GOP chairman. I did so as a matter of conscience and my sense of duty. You big sissy. The president is entitled to GOP party leaders at all levels, fully committed to his views and agenda. There's fully following today's press conference with President Putin, as well as certain policy differences, most especially on trade, I could no longer fulfill that duty, thus I resigned. That's what he tweeted there. So I'm not gonna give him the pleasure of any more publicity there, but that's the crux of it. In California, now this is kind of neat. Now, a mountain shooter, you probably like this. You probably already know about it, as a matter of fact. Listen to this carefully. A three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court, issued a ruling in the case of Duncan versus Becerra, on Tuesday, upholding a lower court's decision to suspend enforcement of California's restriction on the possession of magazines that hold 10 rounds or more. Now, did you understand what I just said? This was in California, and it was the Ninth Circus said that they are upholding a lower court's decision to suspend enforcement of California's restriction on the possession of magazines that hold 10 rounds or more.
This is a significant win for law-abiding gun owners in California. This unconstitutional law criminalizes mere possession of many standard capacity magazines. It would instantly turn many law-abiding gun owners into criminals. Not only criminals, it turns them into felons. That's even worse. So, anyway, yesterday, the Ninth Circuit upheld the injunction. I thought that was a pretty dang good deal there. Let's see, what's Mimi saying? Talk I heard was that Trump took Putin's word that the U.S. intelligence community was in error. I think he did, Mimi, and I don't blame him one bit. Why should he trust someone? We talked about this Monday. I don't need to go over it again. But why should he trust not an agent, but multiple agencies that not only tried to get to keep him from being elected, but has tried to unseat him since then? They've talked about impeachment. They've talked about all this stuff. Why would he trust them over what Putin said? There is no reason. He has been given no reason to trust our own intelligence community. And I think that Putin has, so what? He used to be the enemy. He's a communist, okay? If he has hard evidence on, and apparently I saw this before the show, but I didn't get a chance to research it. If he has evidence against these people, then, well, sorry, but it worked out the way that Trump was right. Again. And I'm okay with that. There's so many things. John F. Kennedy didn't trust his own CIA, and that was a long time ago. Does anyone remember what John F. Kennedy said back in, I don't know whenever it was, when he was still alive and in office? He said something to the effect, I wonder if I've got it here. Let me see if I can find it real quick. It might be here. Yes, it is here. And I quote, John F. Kennedy said, "I will splinter the CIA into 1,000 pieces and scatter it into the wind." The CIA, the intelligence community, one level or another, has not been trusted by our presidents for a very long time. Yeah, he may not seem to be, maybe, but he is a communist. But he is, that's kind of like saying John F. Kennedy's a Democrat? Doesn't seem to me. Well, he didn't, because Democrats were a lot different back then. Democrats were almost like humans, like people. And they're getting to be less and less. There was one in Oklahoma, the very, very pro-gun, very conservative Democrat here, I can't remember his name, Thompson or Thomas or something like that, I don't remember. And you're right, Mimi, I have to agree with you, he doesn't seem like it. He was, maybe still is, I don't know, the leader, the head guy of the KGB. Before he was the president of Russia. Does that mean you can never, ever, ever trust him? Well, it's like I said Monday, we could probably develop what we call an uneasy alliance. That's what my friend Bob Wright said we need to do with the militia and the FBI, is you don't hate every agent because the agency is bad. You don't hate every agent or the agency because of a few rogue agents. You have an uneasy alliance with them and you try to get along as best you can.
it doesn't mean that you love them. But it means that you try to get along. And I think that Trump is doing nothing more than trying to get along with a communist. Anyway, we're about to run out of time, and I've been blabbering here too much. I don't think I quite got done with everything I wanted to get done with. Let's see what else I had, if there's anything that's really pressing here. I don't think there's anything that can't wait. So. By the way, if you want to check something I haven't talked about, I don't think I've talked about very much, was another shooting of an innocent person by the BLM. This was it was on June 10th, a little over a month ago. 6 weeks ago or so. And this happened in Riverside County, California. An innocent female was shot in the back off of an ATV by an overzealous BLM agent that strutting his stuff there, I guess. Had no reason. She was doing nothing illegal. And if you want to see the press release on that from the Coalition of Western States. Let's see if I can find this for you real quick. And I'll put this on the chat room for you. If I can type here and okay, let's see what we come up with there. Okay, we're getting closer. Let me see if I can put a link to this in there. See if I can do it before Yakima Glock beats me to it. My computer's getting a little slow. It's kind of loaded down. But it's still doing a good job. Come on. Easy does it. Let's go. I can do it on my phone because I've already got it pulled up, but I can't put it in the chat room off my phone. All right, here we go. We're getting closer. I'm going to do this when I'm going to post this, and then I'm going to disappear for the night. I'll be back Friday with Liberty Lounge. Okay, here we go right here. Now, just in case you were wondering, with the approval of some of the other members, I wrote this press release for the Coalition of Western States. And I'm going to put this in here right now. All right, check that story out right there. Whoops, why did you not do that? Okay, let's back up here. Try this. Bring this over to here and try that. There it went. Okay. All right. That's it. I'm going to get out of here, and I will see you with Liberty Lounge on Friday. Thank you very much. Thank you.
That wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
Says it all.